City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 385. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
And as promised, we are heading to Victoria, British Columbia today. So we're rushing out the door. Bags are packed. Lovely breakfast with Eric here at the Westin. And Now it's time for us to head on out. We'll be checking back in one more night here at the Westin on our return. But we've got 24 hours to do Victoria. So let's go catch a plane, Kelly.
Let's.
So Kelly and I have just landed by seaplane, which I've never done. And I have to say, the smoothest landing I've ever had by air or by land or by sea. Really fantastic on harbor air seaplanes. So definitely, you have two options when you're coming over to Victoria from Vancouver. You can either take a ferry, which takes a few hours and is nice and scenic. And if you have the time, it's a great option to do that and float along the water and visit and do that kind of route. We had limited time on this trip, so we wanted to get as much time in Victoria as we could. And so harbor air is really the way to do it. You're up, down in 30 minutes. Very smooth and very fun with a great view of where you're leaving, the beautiful city of Vancouver, and where you're approaching, which is this very cute, quaint seaside island. It's all seaside. Town of Victoria. And what is amazing is the architecture already has changed drastically from Vancouver to Victoria. It's really a different world over here. And it is on the southern tip of Vancouver Island, Victoria, British Columbia. It looks historic and it looks absolutely charming. And we're sitting right as you get off the plane. There's a place to get some fresh fish, kind of like we did in Vancouver, seaside, at a place called Redfish Bluefish. Susians will love this place. And we were met off our plane by Kathy Ray of Tourism Victoria. Hey, Kathy, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for coming.
We are so excited to be here. This has been like decades in the making for me to arrive in Victoria, so I really appreciate it.
We're excited to have you and thankful that you made the trip.
So tell us just a little bit about how big is Victoria and what is Victoria known for?
Well, Victoria is, the city itself is fairly small in terms of say, a Vancouver, but, you know, there's a couple hundred thousand people within the greater Victoria area, which spans a fairly large area, so the city itself is a little bit smaller. But Victoria really is known for, we like to say, old world experiences, new world, old world traditions and new world experiences. So it's sort of that mix of like the British heritage that has been here for centuries. So you can do a lot of iconic things such as Butchart Gardens or afternoon tea, visit the Royal BC Museum. But the new world things such as the, say, the cocktail bars or the kayaking that you can do just at the doorstep of your hotel, that's sort of what we're we're becoming more and more known for and what we'd like the world to know about.
Well, and there's a really diverse people just standing here on the harbor, like waiting for fish. I mean, young and old, families, young single people. Really, it's a melting pot. This
it totally
little
is.
Island.
Yeah, and it's a mix of the fresh and new too. Redfish, bluefish is great because it brings in that. Just the sustainability that is so popular in Vancouver and Victoria, and the green aspect, and it brings people for local fish and local food, and the culinary scene in Victoria is really, really coming up and really getting a name for itself for that.
Now, we are definitely doing high tea at the Empress Hotel, and many people know about Victoria. That is almost synonymous. But and many people have also said, you know, the British influence is so strong here. Do you think it's as strong today, or do you feel that there's influences that is multicultural as well happening on the island?
Yeah, and there's definitely a twist. So you do have the sort of old British of the afternoon tea, but there's people in town that are bringing that twist on afternoon tea and making it modern and bringing in sort of different aspects of it. Hotel Grand Pacific does an Asian afternoon tea, West Coast afternoon tea. They're Asian-owned hotels, so they have that twist of wasabi scones, things like that sort of put the English scones, you know, in a different mix. Silk Road is a wonderful tea shop in Victoria that she does tea cocktails and sort of bringing that, you know, the old world, like I said before, but bringing all the new traditions and new experiences to that. And it brings in all the other cultures, which is fun.
Right. And downtown is a really walkable city. You all are known as like one of the fittest.
We are one of the fittest.
We're sitting here eating fried pickles and fried fish.
Exactly. But you have to walk it off.
We're
the cycling capital of Canada as well, according to Stats Canada. So yeah, we definitely don't. It's a car-free city if that's what you choose to do when you come over. So it's great just to wander around, lots of seaside trails to walk and bike, and all within sort of, you can take off right from the Inner Harbor and go from there.
Now, is there a season in which certain activities are more popular, or the weather here is nicer than Vancouver?
It is. We also have the mildest climate in the country.
Which is surprising, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you would think you're, once again, so close to Seattle. That's what we would equate it with in the States.
Yeah.
That it would be very rainy here, but you get less rain than Vancouver.
We do. We get about a quarter less rain, I think, than both cities. So both Seattle and Vancouver, we get about a quarter of their rain. And it's just, you know, from my perspective, we don't have anything to stop the rain. So it does tend to be a little bit breezier here, but that's pushing all the bad stuff away and keeping all the good sunshine here.
You got nothing on Chicago. Yeah. Breezy and windy, obviously,
yes,
are two
true.
Different
that's
things.
That's very true.
Talk to me about the wildlife in the water especially. I know that you have a lot of whales here if people would like to go whale watching.
Yeah, there's three resident pods that live in the waters of Victoria and surrounding areas.
Now, what's a pod?
So a pod is a family of whales.
Ah.
So there's, between the three pods, there's about 80 to 90 whales that are in the ocean with a new baby just born last year. So yeah, lots of opportunities to see. In these waters, they're killer whales or orca whales.
The free willy whales.
The free willy whales.
Right.
But lots of other wildlife too. So there is wildlife watching all year round.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most popular for whale watching would be sort of May to October.
Right.
But there are some whales that sort of stick around for the rest of the year. But for the other times, it's seals and sea lions and all the other great stuff that's here.
So for visitors to Victoria from the GLBT community, how comfortable is it here? I mean, once again, people can get married here, just like Vancouver. So do you find a lot of gay couples coming here to get hitched? It seems like it'd be a very romantic and quaint, quieter, if you really want to just nestle up and stroll through the romance of your nuptials. This
exactly.
seems like the place.
Yep. Indeed, and it's something that we like to say is the romantic. It's great for honeymoons. It's great to get married and sort of tuck away. You've got, you know, island time, and so sort of in a resorty type of community, and you can do everything's at your fingertips, and sort of that getaway.
There are lovely hotels here. It's hard to kind of choose where we're going to stay. We'll tell you more about that once Kelly and I get into our room. But spas and shopping and even some aspects of great art here. We're hearing opera and many things to do each night. And there are some gay clubs in
Victoria. Yeah, for sure. You know, we're not the we're not the party scene.
Sure.
By any means, but there are certainly spaces and places for people to go. Wonderful theater community, wonderful art galleries, and just, you know, things to sort of wander around and take a look at. Very, very high quality art scene. So, you know, and to that, there's that lends itself to all the unique shopping experiences that you can have. Lots of local designers, local artists. Lower Johnson, or Lojo as it's called, is for the most part mostly local. So you can really find those great finds that you can't find anywhere else here.
Like your
nice.
Fabulous coat that
like
you bought yesterday.
Like my fabulous coat.
I love it. I bought a fabulous bag in Vancouver. I'm ready to drop some dollars here in Victoria and buy some fabulous things here as well. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for hosting us here. And Kelly and I are just going to get started because I'm hearing a seaplane in the background. And we're not flying back yet. We've got 24 hours to really play and explore. So we're going to finish eating our fish here on the bay or on the water, and then we're going to head to our hotel.
Sounds great. Well, thanks again for coming, and we're happy to have you.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Huh. Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. The Senate has rejected a motion to break a Republican-led filibuster against an annual defense spending bill that includes language aimed at ending the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell law banning gays. The vote was 56 to 43. Republicans stood united in their contention that a procedural restriction placed on consideration of the annual defense spending bill was politically motivated to win the votes of LGBT people and Latinos for the midterm elections in November. All seven moderate Republicans who were identified as potential supporters on the motion voted no, as did Democrat Mark Pryor of Arkansas.
Florida Governor Charlie Crist has said that the state will immediately terminate its ban on adoptions by same-sex couples. In allowing Frank Martin Gill to keep the two sons he and his partner adopted last year, the state appeals court unanimously ruled September 22nd that the law is unconstitutional. Crist, who had previously supported the ban, has done an about-face on the issue.
In Washington state, U.S. District Judge Ronald Layton has ordered former U.S. Air Force flight nurse Margaret Witt to be reinstated in the military after she revealed that she is a lesbian. The ACLU, representing Witt, has said that she would be the first person to legally serve openly in the U.S. military. The decision took place just weeks after a federal judge in California ruled that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was unconstitutional.
Simian immunodeficiency virus, SIV, is thousands of years older than previously thought, and that may hold bad news regarding HIV. A study from Tulane University and the University of Arizona concluded that SIV, which affects monkeys, is most likely between 32,000 and 75,000 years old. SIV's slow evolution to a relatively harmless form means that HIV/AIDS may continue to kill for some time.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has received onto the clergy roster three pastors in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area who are lesbians in committed relationship. Pastors Anita C. Hill, Ruth Frost, and Phyllis Zilhart were received as clergy during a ceremony presided over by Bishop Peter Rognes.
Lesbian pioneer Jill Johnston, author of Lesbian Nation, died September 18th of a stroke at the age of 81. In Lesbian Nation, The Feminist Solution, published in 1973, Johnston urged women to break away from men altogether. She also wrote for Art News and the New York Times Sunday Book Review.
In Georgia, a fourth man has come forward claiming that Bishop Eddie Long, pastor of the huge New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Atlanta, forced him into a sexual relationship. Long denies the claims of three other men who said he sexually abused them when they were teenagers. The men, now all in their 20s, launched separate lawsuits. However, Long, who once called homosexuality a spiritual abortion, has said that he is anxious to respond directly to these false allegations and plans to do so.
The CDC has released a study of 21 major U.S. cities showing that 1 in 5 gay and bisexual men is infected with HIV and that 44% of these men are unaware of their status. Other findings stress the racial disparities that exist among gay men, with blacks most disproportionately affected by the virus.
Mary McAleese, the president of Ireland, has rejected an offer to head the New York City St. Patrick's Day parade because gay participants have repeatedly been excluded. She wanted to march in both the city's parades, but ultimately chose the gay-inclusive event in Queens instead of the other in Manhattan.
In California, the City College of San Francisco's Board of Trustees has appointed transgender woman Ms. Bob Davis, age 63, as the interim dean of the school's Castro Campus and Liberal Arts Program. Davis, who has taught music at the school since 1976, became City College's first out transgender tenured faculty member in 2003. Davis was also an advisor to the college's Queer Resource Center and Queer Alliance.
Harvard University President Drew Gilpin Faust has said that the school would welcome ROTC to campus only after Don't Ask, Don't Tell is repealed. Harvard had expelled ROTC from campus in 1969 in the middle of protests against the Vietnam War.
Four members of the U.S. House and one member of the U.S. Senate are the newest co-sponsors of the United American Families Act, which would allow same-sex couples to sponsor their foreign-born partners to become U.S. citizens. The act now has 132 co-sponsors in the House and 25 in the Senate. Several more members of Congress are expected to become co-sponsors in the near future.
Get ready for marijuana-infused ice cream. A California medical marijuana dispensary named Creme de Cana is selling half pints of flavors such as strawberry cheesecake, triple chocolate brownie, and Bananabis Foster. Customers cannot consume the ice cream on site, and only marijuana patients who have the cards may purchase the desserts. Californians will vote on general legalization of marijuana in November. Patients suffering from cancer and HIV/AIDS regularly take medical marijuana.
Two gay men, Bobby Cancello and Maddie Daly, have achieved the record for the world's longest kiss. The two men, who are just friends, reached their goal of queering the Guinness World Records by locking lips for 33 hours on the campus of the College of New Jersey.
In world news, in Germany, Foreign Minister Guido Westerwelle and Michael Mronz have entered into a civil partnership in Bonn. Mayor Jürgen Nimsch conducted the ceremony. Civil partnerships in Germany provide most of the rights of traditional marriage, with the exceptions of tax benefits and same-sex adoption.
In England, James Anderson has become the first cricket player to pose nude for a gay magazine, appearing on the cover of Attitude. Anderson, a 28-year-old who is married to a woman and has a child, said that cricket's a very welcoming sport and that gay players should feel comfortable being open.
In England, Tory councillor Jim Farquharson, who was accused of calling Liberal Democrat city leader John Stewart a faggot, has apologized, but not for that term. Farquharson said he was sorry for calling Stewart a fat girl and a fascist. However, he denied directing anti-gay slurs at Stewart. However, Stewart responded, "Just because someone apologizes for something does not make it acceptable behavior."
In Canada's Northwest Territories, gay couples Scott Robertson and Richard Anthony have been awarded $13,400 because a landlord refused to rent them an apartment because of their sexual orientation. Robertson and Anthony told a human rights panel they had signed a one-year lease and paid $1,125 damage deposit for the unit. However, landlord William Gertson refused to acknowledge the lease after learning they were a gay couple. The decision stated in part that Gertson believed that same-sex relationships are unnatural and against nature.
In entertainment news, out singer Adam Lambert is denying that he punched a photographer on Miami Beach. On Twitter, Lambert posted, "I attempted to grab a camera. No punches were thrown and no one was on the ground. It was literally harmless." And speaking of Lambert, E! Network canceled the Daily 10 program just days after co-anchor Michael Catherwood jokingly suggested that Lambert might like being in prison because of his sexual orientation. Catherwood apologized, but viewers' complaints were overwhelming.
Oscar winners Jodie Foster and Kate Winslet will co-star in the movie adaptation of God of Carnage for Roman Polanski. God of Carnage was a Tony Award-winning play looking at two sets of parents who meet to talk about a fight between two of their children.
Also, Jodie Foster has been cleared of charges related to an alleged attack on a teenage photographer. The teenager's father, Clement Foster, pushed and shoved the boy after he attempted to photograph her and her children.
The late gay fashion designer Alexander McQueen was honored at a memorial service during London Fashion Week in St. Paul's Cathedral. Stella McCartney, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Naomi Campbell attended. McQueen committed suicide on February 11th.
Sacha Baron Cohen, known for the movies Borat and Bruno, has signed on to portray the late Queen lead singer Freddie Mercury. The untitled biopic will focus on Queen's performance at the 1985 Live Aid benefit concert. Mercury died of AIDS-related pneumonia in 1991.
Actress Portia de Rossi has officially taken her famous wife's last name, becoming Portia Lee James DeGeneres. Portia and Ellen DeGeneres married 2 years ago.
Troubled starlet Lindsay Lohan was ordered back to jail, but is now free. On September 24th, Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Eldon Fox denied bail and ordered that Lohan remain in custody until the next hearing on October 22nd. She was immediately handcuffed and escorted to the Linwood Correctional Facility. However, she was freed shortly that evening after Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Patricia Schnegg allowed the actress's release from jail on $300,000 bail. Lohan's attorney, Sean Chapman Holly, successfully argued that the star was unlawfully taken in handcuffs after her court appearance.
Elaine Stritch, Idina Menzel, Nathan Lane, and Audra McDonald will participate in a Broadway celebration at the White House on Wednesday, October 20th on PBS. The event was taped previously during a private audience with President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
So we are now back at our hotel, and it has been a great day. It's the first time we're at our hotel here in Victoria, and we are staying at the most beautiful place right on the water called Inn at Laurel Point. And I have to say, they knew the lesbians were coming. They had a couple of copies of Bound magazine in our room. They had other magazines that were mainstream, but I thought that was a cute little touch.
It was a very sweet touch.
We got a lovely little note from Jody, who must be the resident lesbian on staff. I have no idea. They probably said, lesbians are coming. No, I'm teasing. Actually, the business card that she gave us had a picture of two lesbians. I assume they're lesbians in bed on the back of it.
Let's hope they're lesbians.
So they obviously want the GLBT business, and that's really amazing.
Beautiful place to stay, too. Really lovely.
Yeah. It's got a bit of a Japanese-inspired kind of theme there. Asian artifacts and the gardens.
They have the Japanese gardens in the back. The bathroom is really wide open, very Japanese. Again, they have the kind of...
But also on every floor, they have these shadow boxes with... Mm-hmm. We haven't even been able to explore them all yet, but really cool Asian artifacts or art, kimonos on the third floor. So it's really a gorgeous, tranquil place right here on the water.
Just very peaceful and very luxurious.
Yeah. And it's nice because I think we may just breathe a little bit tonight and stay in because we've had such an afternoon.
We had a big day.
We stayed in Victoria proper downtown on the harbor today. And it was... there's so many little areas, and I just want to tell you all about a few of them. We started off going through Bastion Square, mm-hmm. which was really, really close to where we landed in our plane. And
after we ate.
All that wonderful food, which sustained me. I think I'm still full from it, actually. But Bastion Square is like an open market. So open market, open crafts. We met some cute young gals that were selling
earrings. We did. They
earrings.
Were lovely. And one of them was going on a trip.
Yeah, big trip.
Lots of local artisans, jewelry, and as you said, you know, belts, leather workers.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking like maybe 20. I mean, it's not a huge market because this is a small little quaint town, but it obviously is going on every day down there where you can get, there were dipped chocolates and strawberries and earrings.
I wondered where you were going with the
fruit.
Dipped.
I was dipping, no.
Well, we walked along the water, too.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of what seemed like the First Nations people with their carvings, and there were just a lot of wonderful things to see.
Yeah, all along the harbor, I loved that. I loved seeing, it reminded me of Santa Fe, where if you go to Santa Fe and you're in the square and all of the natives, we would call them Native Americans, they say First Nations, settlers, you know, I guess, come down there and they, whether they're a lot of wood carving that was really extensive and gorgeous, and a lot of beadwork. So that was cool just to kind of talk to them and look at what they're working on as people are walking by. Mm-hmm. And then Kathy had told us about an area called Lower Johnson, and it's Johnson Street down closest to the water. And there are a lot of little boutiques there. I have to say, it felt a little like a tiny seaside Soho. I mean, it felt very hip, but not too hip for itself. Just one of the cool things we went to is a place, and it was called the Smoking Lily. Mm-hmm. And I believe the woman said it's known as the smallest retail store in Canada. I would imagine it's the smallest retail store in the United States, unless you had a rolling cart. I mean, it couldn't be 10 feet, 8 feet wide by 4 feet deep. And I'm not kidding when I say only one person can stand inside. Maybe 5 people could stand inside her space.
Right.
And then she had stuff hanging way high up on the walls, and her, you know, sitting on her stool behind her little cash register.
It's
and then
sweet.
Yeah, it's a like women's little clothing.
It's got cute
store.
Little clothing, t-shirts, nice
some bags, I think,
bags.
And some earrings. Tiny, tiny. It's kind of an institution and a very oddity thing to see.
Yeah.
And then we went and had a great time talking to a couple of gals at Cusp Clothing. And that was really fun. We talked to Alyssa and Nicole there, and you almost bought some stuff from them. They have shoes and clothing and accessories, and really, they said they were known for their shoes, but they got more accessories and clothes along the way. But mm-hmm. I thought that they looked like they had as many clothes and accessories as they
did
shoes.
Yeah, and they
had
an upstairs and downstairs and some,
very
just some really nice pieces that weren't overwhelming in terms of size. I mean, it was small enough that they could really gravitate towards kind of higher end, really nice stuff.
Well, and speaking of higher end, we went to a place called Still Life, and the guy there seemed kind of like he was a tour guide. Like, he told us places to go eat, and they carried a lot of Stella McCartney. They had a lot of cool kind of tree torn wellies, I guess, mm-hmm. and I guess their version of a croc, which was not a croc. It was cooler than a croc,
cooler
I thought, because your crocs are outdated, Kelly Simpkins.
Well, I still love them. I still love those crocs. But every, you know, all the different little shops along the way seemed to know like where to eat and what their preferences were, and they're very generous in terms of that kind of knowledge and where they loved. So it felt very welcoming.
And since we did not have time, and we probably won't have time even when we go back, to hit Chinatown in Vancouver, which is a pretty large Chinatown in Vancouver.
I think they said the third largest.
Yeah, right? in the U.S. or Canada, besides San Francisco and New York.
Right.
We're probably not going to be able to hit it in Vancouver, but we did hit it here today in Victoria, and it's probably known as the smallest Chinatown probably in the world. And but so charming. I mean, they have this famous Fantan Alley that is known as one of the narrowest alleys in Canada, and you can barely walk two people wide.
Two abreast.
Is that what you call it? If breast would seem that we would be face to face, shoulder to shoulder.
We do walk that way, though. We walk breast to breast in most places.
We do not walk breast to breast.
There's some accidents, but other than that, it's pretty delightful. You should try it.
It's very cute, though, this Chinatown, and you almost could miss it when you turn the corner and go down Fantan Alley. But there was a really cool little shop. There are little shops in the alley. And
lanterns, like red lanterns.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. It's like two streets long, their Chinatown.
It looks like if you could film a film there, you would, but you can't film in that alley because where would you put anything like lighting or
I don't know how
a
you
boom
do
mic?
That,
but World Arts was really cool. We met a groovy gal there, and they have a lot of Tibetan prayer shawls and yoga clothing.
Incense, little Buddha statues, beads, earrings, all kinds of Tibetan prayer flags. It's lovely.
Like local artists and also kind of that, I don't know, world finds that would be around Eastern religion, I guess. It was really a cute shop. And we hit that kind of late in the day. She was getting some overtime hours, I think, waiting on us and buying some things. But why we were late getting to Chinatown is because I think we had one of the most special things today, which was we went into, and we're going to have tea tomorrow, high tea at the Empress, but we went into a tea service store called
Tea Shop.
A tea shop. Yeah, that's right. Called Silk Road. That's right around the corner from Chinatown, I guess in Chinatown on Government Street. And Raina took care of us and gave us some tea tastings. She had just finished, she said, a tea tasting with teas and some chocolate. Mm-hmm. And they've been working with a chocolate shop that we also visited today called Rogers Chocolates. Mm-hmm. And they also have a soda shop. And when Kelly and I finished with Kathy, we immediately needed some dessert because we had not had enough fried food. And so they found a way to infuse in the chocolate some of their tea. So we had that Earl Grey dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of, you know, they have like, I don't know how many, like 50 different blends of teas that you can buy.
And they're all fresh. They're all
loose. We bought a lot of them.
From what I understand, and I hope I'm not misquoting this, as kind of organic and sustainable as they can get. Like,
yep.
The woman that started this shop, it's grown. They have kind of healthcare, skin line stuff, lots of different stuff when you first walk in.
And oils, then the teas, and oils, essences.
And tea, beautiful teapots and teacups, but healthcare, yeah.
Oh.
And then
you,
on the
you
left
serve
hand,
yourself, though. I love
you
that.
Serve the, and bath
with
salts.
Everything.
And,
you serve yourself with bath salts. They let you take the little canisters they have, and they have the labels already ready for you, mm-hmm. and you pull them off, and you can get a like small, medium, large, how many ever ounces you want. And you can do that with the salts or powder, bathing powders, or with the tea.
Right. And, so we went to the left, and that's where all the teas were, and Raina was just wonderful. She let us try probably four or five different teas, some that we were just interested in as consumers and some that she just really loved. And she's training now under the woman that started this Silk Road, who clearly has a wonderful palate and has studied with a lot of Eastern really famous tea makers.
Yeah, and tea
you know,
service.
Japanese and Asia. And has started this. It's just such a gorgeous place.
It's such a sweet place. I mean, I really could have stayed there even longer. Luckily, you love black tea, so you got some tea, and I don't drink anything really with caffeine, so I got some wonderful herbal teas, and the blends
which we
are
both
just,
loved, and we got
we
some green
love.
Tea,
yeah.
which was wonderful, kind of nutty.
Yeah. It's really a special place, and I believe, I'm sure that, and I do know that they have a website that's extensive, and it's just silkroadtea.com, and Kelly and I will be definitely checking that out and maybe sending some gifts, because that is a great resource. I mean, I know the world's a pretty big coffee place, but I don't really drink coffee, so it was amazing for me, and I loved it, and it gets me even more excited to kind of see the Western tradition of tea service tomorrow at the Empress Hotel, mm-hmm. Where we're going for high tea, and also then this practice that is really modern but rooted in kind of Eastern tea service. So it's
and it feels like a tea apothecary. Like you get to be part of the smelling and the experience, and you know, putting your own tea in its canister and doing your little sticker on top. It's just really beautiful what they've done there.
So we have got more to do here in Victoria. Tomorrow is a full day
of
heading to the gardens and heading to tea, and then our trip is kind of coming to a close. But
they have a tub. What do they call what they're giving us tonight?
Oh, they're giving us a butler service tonight.
A tea butler. A
bath.
Bath butler.
A bath butler, not tea, but we could have some tea. We're going to have a bath butler service, and I think it's going to be one of those cute, like, Paolo or Jason who are down at the front door. Boys,
cutie,
let me tell you.
Cuties.
There are some pretty guys
some
in Victoria.
Beautiful. These two are very beautiful.
I'm not sure if we've seen a ton of gays, but we've seen some pretty people.
Not a lot of gays.
It's a little more touristy here. You know, you feel like you would come here to spa or to, if you were coming to Seattle, or you were coming to Vancouver, this is a really easy puddle jump or a
it
little
is.
Ferry
30,
ride.
30, 25, 30 minutes
and
on
I can
the seaplane.
Already tell you we're not having enough time here. Like, I can already tell you that we could have another day here or two.
Or two, right.
Or three if I really just wanted to relax. So
we've ordered up some great food here. And we're going to have our...
Yeah, they have an award-winning restaurant here. So we're just going to stay here.
Yeah.
Ara. We're going to have a little Ara food and a little bath butler. Thank you, Inn at Laurel Point. And tomorrow it's a big day as we head to the gardens.
Every day's a big day here.
It's just a big day with you, Kelly. Always.
Tourism Vancouver wants to bring your party of five to Vancouver for Pride Weekend next summer. That's right. Imagine you and four friends in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, dancing the day and night away at the Pride Parade, Pride Festival, Dyke March, and Street Party. Enter the Party of Five to Vancouver Pride 2011 sweepstakes by visiting tourismvancouver.com/five. Prize includes round-trip flights to Vancouver for five people from anywhere in North America. Two nights share accommodations during Vancouver Pride at the hip Opus Hotel in trendy Yale Town. A $500 dining credit to Rain City Grill, an icon of West Coast dining just steps from the parade route and English Bay Beach. So which four friends would you like to take to Vancouver Pride? Visit tourismvancouver.com/five and enter to win. The 2011 Vancouver Pride Parade takes place on July 31st, 2011. The sweepstakes runs through December 31st, 2010 and is open to residents of the United States, excluding Florida, and Canada, excluding Quebec. You must be 21 years of age to enter. For full rules and regulations, visit tourismvancouver.com/five.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 27th, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Lifeline Theatre opens its 28th anniversary season of Big Stories up close with a world premiere adaptation of Emily Bronte's haunting classic, Wuthering Heights, running Thursday through Sundays through October 31st. For more on Wuthering Heights, visit lifelinetheatre.com.
Court Theatre kicks off its season with William Shakespeare's The Comedy of Errors, directed and adapted by Sean Graney. Tickets are available now by visiting courttheatre.org. Don't miss this exciting and innovative production of The Comedy of Errors. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
So for over 100 years, 55 acres of land given by the Bouchard family has been Bouchard Gardens, where there have been 100 years of blooming flowers of every kind of variety here in Victoria, and is definitely Bouchard Gardens is a place to see if you come to Victoria. Kelly and I have just enjoyed a couple hours of a morning stroll through the gardens, and this has been truly gorgeous, right?
Yeah, it's been amazing.
You start off and you will definitely see one of the most beautiful, what they call sunken garden. It really reminded me a lot of East Tennessee and my home and the lakes and very lush, kind of tucked away, almost North Carolina mountains
with
feeling.
The sound of a waterfall kind of happening in the distance.
That's exactly right. And then you go around where they have some just the most amazing. We saw a gorgeous hedge of dahlias of every color mm-hmm. that you'd ever imagine, and then the most beautiful rose garden that's at this time of year at the end of its season, but a wonderful lead-in to, with all the different varieties of roses, into the Japanese garden. I think that was your favorite,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I love the Japanese garden. Nothing really flowering, although there was some weird Willy Wonka-esque.
Just in the Japanese garden. It's flowering all over
the
place.
Oh, yeah, it's flowering all over, but Japanese garden, it's just mostly trees and greenery and moss and different green plants or green varietals. I don't know what you would call
water lilies in the ponds.
Gorgeous water lilies, but just beautiful. Really breathtaking, really enchanting, very quiet, lots of solitude to be had, although there are lots of people from every nation, it seems, kind of walking around and talking.
That's exactly right. And now you come to the end, and you're in a lovely Italian garden with the fountains and the screens and all of the beautiful, beautiful, vibrant colors, benches around a cobblestone area. I mean, truly, we are here in September, and obviously, it's late in the flowering season, but this place is so beautifully maintained. It's just gorgeous. The varieties of trees that are here and shrubs and flowers is just astonishing. So if you are in Victoria, and we hope that you come, because let me tell you, this is just an amazing little town. If you could come here for a beautiful honeymoon,
mm-hmm.
and you could definitely come here for just the right mix to me of little town and shopping and also outdoors, because we rented a car today.
It's a really short trip from where we were in
yeah.
Victoria,
yeah.
About 20-minute drive, and thank you Tourism Victoria for making this part of our trip. It's been really, really beautiful.
And the love that you see in the Bouchert Gardens is really because it was a husband and wife who took this 55 acres and decided to craft this place. And really, they said they named their estate Benvenuto, which means welcome, mm-hmm. from the Italian, and fitting that we end here at the Italian Garden. So Kelly and I are going to head back, and we're going to have high tea now at the Empress. So those two things are really two mainstays, things that you should definitely do when you're in Victoria. Hit Bouchert Gardens and for sure have high tea at the Empress Hotel.
I'm excited.
So from flowers to high tea at the Empress Hotel, I'm mm-hmm. sitting here with the lovely Kelly Simpkins, my
Hi.
Cohort in crime on this whole excursion.
Yeah, it's been great to be a cohort.
So this is something I've wanted to do for a decade, which is come to Victoria.
For a decade?
Have,
really?
Yeah, more than a decade, actually. In the late 90s, my mother and I almost came to Victoria and to Vancouver, Victoria. Instead, we went to Santa Fe, which is something you and I have done.
Yeah.
But that was a more... in the United States kind of trip, but Victoria is known, of course, for its origins and roots in the British Empire, and also for its afternoon tea service done at the Empress Hotel, which is a Fairmont hotel, and this is a lovely room. It's a grand foyer room of this beautiful hotel overlooking the harbor.
Feels like we've been transported back in time, somewhere in time.
Somewhere in time.
I mean, it feels it has that kind
of... Cue music, Di. That's beautiful,
Cue music.
Right?
But it does have that kind of feeling to it, doesn't it?
Like Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour would walk in through the lobby.
Yeah.
It is a Victorian hotel.
There they are.
There they are.
Oh, that's... Oh,
don't pick up the penny. Don't pick up the penny.
Don't pick up the penny.
Those of you who are too young, go rent the movie. But what I didn't know was why it started. Why high tea? Why afternoon tea started? And you read this mm-hmm. here at the hotel. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell people why afternoon tea started, Kelly?
Well, the origin of the afternoon tea is that early in Queen Victoria's reign, she habitually suffered a sinking feeling around 5 o'clock.
I did that too.
I think a lot of people do. So she started taking tea with little sandwiches and little cakes and biscuits and things. So the afternoon tea hour was born.
Yeah.
And a custom that has evolved, although it's fairly similar. Anywhere you go, you have sandwiches.
Savory sandwiches. A scone or a biscuit.
Scone with cream and jam and pastries.
Yeah, and little sweeties.
And sweet teas on a 3-tiered, beautiful... what do you call that?
Tea service,
yes. Oh gosh, I'm trying to come up with it.
And we're sampling a couple of types of teas here. They obviously have their signature tea at the Empress blend, which is a black tea. And then I don't drink the caffeine so much because I'm already hyper enough, as you all probably know if you listen to me. So I'm going to have a lovely little decaf. And Yosef, who's been serving tea for 30 years, is serving us here. So...
from Africa, wasn't he from Africa?
Yes, originally. And came here to study in college and has been here ever since. So,
and they have a live piano player here who's been playing various hits, including Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah.
Yeah, from right when we walked in. So we're going to enjoy our tea now, and we hope that you have the opportunity to come and experience high tea just like us. And then we've got to quickly board Harbor Air again to fly back to Vancouver because we're heading home, folks. We're heading home, and we hope that you've enjoyed your time with us. So we clink a glass to you. And we look forward to taking you somewhere else exciting on some more podcasts out and about when we travel.
I'm so sad.
I'm not sad. We're going home to Chicago. We love Chicago.
I know.
So cheers.
Cheers.
And I'm going to have a nap on the plane on the way home.
We can chat.
I get naked for the arts.
I get naked to support the troops.
I get naked for human rights.
I get naked for my future.
I get naked to stop the spending.
I get naked for the stimulus.
I get naked to stay informed.
I get naked for immigration reform.
I get naked for clean air.
I get naked for the little guy.
I get naked for education.
The voting law in Illinois has changed. For the first time ever, you can vote by mail.
No need for polling stations, waiting in line, or even putting on pants. It's so easy. It's so private. You can vote naked. Simply request an absentee ballot. When it arrives to your home, just mail it in.
I get naked for Illinois.
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 Visit votenakedillinois.org to get involved, check out Vote Naked events, and join the movement.
Hello, this is your girl Lady Gaga, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
So we are back in Vancouver. It's hours before we hop to bed and then hop on a plane back out of here, home to Chicago. And we're coming to the end of what has just been a lovely trip. And tonight was a total frickin' surprise. Tonight may have been the gayest thing we've done, and you and I just stumbled upon
it. Oh, we've done some gay things
here. We've done some gay things here and in Victoria, but this was the gayest. Let me tell you, we got home, and had a lovely shuttle. Let me tell you, the shuttle's free from Harbor Air into downtown.
Great flight. I loved sitting up front. My knees were not in someone's back.
You were better on the way back.
Oh, so much better.
It was good when you can move your legs.
We watched a little U.S. Open at the Westin Grand.
We watched a little U.S. Open. And then we were going to have...
Sprinkling here a little bit today.
Yeah, it is raining. This is the first rain we've had. But luckily we asked, where's a good place we could go eat? Somebody gave us one place. We won't mention it. It was packed. We couldn't go. We thought maybe we'd go down there and check it out in Yaletown. And
we haven't been to Yaletown yet. And let me tell you.
We've been through Yaletown.
We haven't
stopped.
But we haven't stopped and kind of gone along. And it feels like a meatpacking district or like a really hip kind of...
Warehouses.
Warehousey, but really hip kind
of
urban. Tons of great shops and restaurants.
Yeah, and there are lots of restaurants. We'd heard about a couple. One could get us in. Maybe one said they couldn't, but we thought we might just crash the joint.
And I said, we're going to go to that place, the third place that they recommended.
Yeah, and the third place was just the guy who was the doorman at the Westin. He said, why don't you try Rodney's?
Mm-hmm.
And it's an oyster bar, and maybe you'll like it. And I thought, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm not a big oyster fan. But
I am.
You are.
I love oysters.
So, you know, after walking through the misty rain tonight, which is the first misty rain we've been walking in, which was slightly romantic, we decided to go into Rodney's, and we can only get two seats, and they're at the bar at Rodney's Oyster Bar. And let me tell you, the lady turned to me right before we sat down tonight, and she said, let me tell you, the bar's the best place to be. It's so much fun. And
it had an upper level. It almost
so
looked like the inside
fun.
Of a ship.
Yeah.
It was loud. It was gregarious. They were kind of shouting and shucking and you know, almost one of those places where there'd be like shavings on the floor.
I'm sure there were. We just couldn't see our feet because it was so crowded. But I loved it.
Full of energy and activity and gorgeous men behind the bar.
Oh my God. Let me just tell you guys, a guy who looks like Colton Ford. I hope all of you are listening. Kelly doesn't even know who the fuck Colton Ford is. He's that silver-haired porn star who's singing now.
I was going to say porn star, but I didn't want to say
gorgeous.
It in case he was like a singer.
This guy is more beautiful and bigger and more muscular than Colton Ford. He was a porn star shucking oysters the entire 2 hours we were there, like a foot and a half from us, from our noses. He was gorgeous. I don't know what his name was. We didn't quite get that, but I can tell you that all the guys there had black t-shirts on that said, suck it off.
Or eat me raw.
Eat me raw. And they were all cute and all very...
fun.
Fun.
It was 80s music. They were singing behind the bar. They were... We were waited on by... We didn't get his name. But
he took such
darling,
good care of
adorable
us.
Little sweetie.
He was just
who was
steaming,
making mussels, clams, and homemade clam chowder in these three huge
steamers, like little saute
yes,
dish
he was,
steamers.
Like, doing the garlic and the wine and the everything and plopping these huge mussels in.
And he would just flick some off sometime on our plate. We had the most amazing garlic shrimp. I hope we're making you hungry. Garlic shrimp.
We had great
and
food.
Halibut and
potato encrusted halibut.
Oh my God, it was so
good. The garlic
good.
Shrimp I loved. That
Divine.
Was my favorite thing. And then the oysters. We had four different kinds of oysters, which you actually tried.
I really liked. I had some clam.
And they
clam.
Had sauces galore.
Yeah.
They had the mignonette sauce, which is always given, typically.
Yep.
Cocktail sauce. And then they had all kinds of other things that you could put on your oysters, if you so desired.
I have to say, it feels like the perfect ending, because it was just you and me, but we were around a lot
kind
of people.
Body, and it was
body
fun.
And
it wasn't
fun.
Like...
Great seafood, everything so fresh,
yeah,
and cute
wonderful.
Men that I don't think any of them were gay, but I can hope. I think they were all gay, and I hope that if you're single and you head to Rodney's Oyster Bar.
I think a few of them actually were gay.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you have to wear that shirt to be a little gay to wear that shirt, seriously. And
you have
be
to
that
be comfy.
Muscular. You have to be comfy. So, hey, it's high on my list, and I don't know that it was on any list that I saw coming to this city, but I would go back. It was definitely fun, and we actually saw a local, well, he's not a local, we saw an actor. We're not going to tell you who it is, but it's somebody who's been on Queer as Folk, actually, on somebody who's been on a number of shows, and Kelly recognized him as an actor, and he's been on one of her favorite shows of all time, and actually one of both of our favorite shows of all time, and I don't know if I should
if
tell you.
If you guess it, you win a free trip to...
Yeah. Anyhow, let's just say that we discussed Thea Gill and Queer as Folk, and we discussed Sharon Glass, who he knows from Queer as Folk, and another show that she was on that mm-hmm. she was probably first noted for. And
oh, honey, that was terrible. That was
one more
bad.
Time. One more time.
Oh, no.
One more time.
All right, that was better.
All right. And we
it's
had
Cagney
great...
and Lacey, folks, for
Cagney
those of
Lacey.
You who are not following yeah. the three times yeah. that Amy tried.
And he was also on 30-something, which is one of our favorite shows. So we had such a great time talking to him. And and now we have to go back. I'm kind of ready, but I could also stay here another week and feel like I couldn't see it all. So we'll be back. I think we'll be back to Vancouver and Victoria.
Absolutely.
For sure. And we just want to say thank you to Tourism Victoria and Tourism Vancouver for all the hospitality and the hotels that we stayed at and the restaurants who treated us very sweetly.
Yeah,
the
Weston
people.
Grand Inn at Laurel Point, all the lovely food that we had. We felt really, really special on both of these trips, and that's not easy to do.
And you know what? You can really...
It's actually fairly easy
it's
to
pretty,
do for
we're,
me.
We're pretty easy. It doesn't take much to make us feel special, but but what I can say is that as GLBT people, if you have been thinking of a trip, I think our Friends to the North is a great place to go, our Friends to the Northwest, and don't forget, if you want to get married, it's a great place to tell your family, meet us there, or friends, or if you just need a witness, just somebody.
Can you give me a witness?
Can you give me a witness? It's a great place to get married.
Not here in Chicago, but in Vancouver.
In Vancouver.
The Couve.
The Couve,
as we call it. That makes me still feel uncomfortable every time I say
it. And do we call the Tory, the Victoria? We got to think of something for her as well.
Tours.
But, you know, you could do a great honeymoon in Victoria. Get married in Vancouver and party with your friends, rehearsal dinner, and have your honeymoon in Victoria. I can't think of anything better. And you know... And it's gay, because they love us gays. The unconditional love Lisa Cummings talked about the very first day. So we have unconditional love for you. We appreciate you listening, because this is the first time I think we've ever done in a long, long time a big travel series. And now Kelly's going to go on tour. So Mitchell comes back from his tour, and he's going to be on a podcast very soon. We can talk to him about Alaska and all of his sights and sounds. But we hope you have a great week, and thanks so much. And I hope you'll check out BC, British Columbia, sometime really, really soon.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.